when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
You can often be at the height of certain things that you're going through. Like, people will be applauding you and people will be saying you are achieving so, so much, and yet be simultaneously at the lowest of the low.
There is such beauty in knowing I am equipping myself, not just for the nourishment of me, but the nourishment of those who naturally receive what flows from me.
The amount of information that we are exposed to in this generation is too much.
If you do not have the compassion for yourself to even acknowledge I'm empty, you'll never go and get what it is that you need. And I think a lot of us are in relationships with people and we haven't experienced the true intimacy of sisterhood because we are yet to admit that we are empty and we need someone to fill us up.
Most people don't get what they deserve. People get what they fight for. And happiness and joy is something that I'm learning I have to fight for.
So good.
Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's conversation, we are going to be talking about mental health because it's so important. Literally, this episode was actually meant to be about something else according to our season planning. However, it was just on my heart this morning.
It's
that
this season.
We 100%, like, when it comes to being in the winter, you told me that it was like Blue Monday.
Yeah, Blue Monday on the 15th.
On the 15th of January, the saddest day of the year, apparently. With the winter, seasonal affective disorder, depression, anxiety on the rise, I thought it'd be really good to talk to the sisters who may be feeling a little bit down and blue.
Little bit blue.
And to talk about our experiences of mental health, as well as how on your glowing and growing journey, you can contend with sometimes the inevitable feelings of doubt, just sad and down moods that we don't often talk about. I think mental health is becoming less of a taboo topic. However, as we are trying to, you know, become the most amazing versions of ourselves, sometimes we can neglect how important it is and how true those emotions actually are. So we're going to be touching from depression to anxiety to just general worry and sadness. And hopefully it blesses you guys who are listening.
Fingers crossed. And also just two things, trigger warning. We may, you know, touch on quite sensitive topics, whether it be talking about clinical depression, potentially suicide, and we just want to make sure that you are in the best frame of mind when you are listening to this episode.
For
if you feel that you do need to kind of take some time away, or this may not be the episode for you, then do feel free to click off, sis. That is all good.
For real.
And the next is, we are not clinical psychologists, we are not therapists, but you know where you can get therapy from?
BetterHelp. Honestly, BetterHelp. It has been one of our long-standing partners here at the podcast. And if you want therapy by, you know, accredited professionals, psychologists and clinicians, then you definitely can click on the link in our description as well as in the show notes over on podcast streaming platforms to get some money off therapy with BetterHelp. I have personally used BetterHelp. We have both used BetterHelp and we've really enjoyed our experience. You can pick the therapist. This episode is not sponsored.
It's not.
But it is an affiliate link. So, you know, if you click it, we do get some kickback, but we would not promote anything we have not used and we do not like. And so BetterHelp has been amazing because we were able to choose the therapist who we worked with. We were able to change them according to your needs, and there's a wide range of people, and also it's more it's more affordable than traditional therapy as well. So if you want to check that out, the link is down below for you to, you know, see if you want a bit more extra help and guidance on this journey as well. Well, before we get into the actual main episode,
we have some housekeeping announcements,
which so many people have been looking forward to. Sisters in South Africa.
I know you guys been tired.
The live show is finally happening.
We have arrived.
TMS Live in South Africa is going to be happening. What's the date?
The 8th of February.
On February 8th. As you can tell, I'm not clued into many things.
She was like, where we got to show
where,
up again?
Where is it happening?
Where is it happening?
February 8th. Literally, we are going to be in South Africa hosting a live show with you girls. It has been a long time in the making, and we're so grateful to our partners over at Sorted Chele for making sure this actually happened. For sure. We wanted to touch base with more than just the girls who are coming on the trip to South Africa with us, but with you amazing ladies who have supported us and are constantly making noise for us, sharing the podcast. And so we wanted to hug you, meet you, speak
see
with
you in
you,
real life. We know that the South African sisters stand up every time they're called. That roll call goes out, we see the flags, we see everything, and we love it. I can't believe it's literally now 2024 February. When we mapped this out and we said, oh, we're coming to South Africa in February 2024, we thought it was something projected
way
so
away
in advance, and now we're literally like 2 weeks away, which is insane.
It's crazy.
So for all of you sisters, listen, don't sleep on the job. If there's one thing about TMS events, is they are few and far between, kind of like fairy dust, and you don't want to be that person that lost out.
Fairy dust job.
So the show will be hosted over at the Maslow Hotel. Yes. It will be in the afternoon, and it will be held in Johannesburg. Woo, 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 so ladies, if you know what's good for you, don't just come alone, bring a sister.
Bring a sister, which brings us to talk about tickets. Mm-hmm. So tickets are going live tomorrow, which is Monday the 22nd,
I believe,
of January, okay, at 10 a.m. GMT, which is UK time. Now, I don't know what time that is.
12 p.m. So lunchtime. You guys should even be on your lunch.
Lunch break. There we go. But in true TMS fashion, it is going out to the mailing list girlies first, okay? They're going to have a whole 24 hours to whip up those tickets before we do a general release on Tuesday, 10 a.m. GMT, 12 p.m. South African time, okay? So if you want to get the earliest first access to these tickets, you're going to need to sign up to the To My Sisters 100%. Mailing list. Now, there are some sisters who already registered their interest. Do not worry. We are going to reserve some tickets to the side for you guys, because you have been rocking with us since we announced this thing before there was even details or confirmation. And so you will get your ticket as well. Please pay attention to your inbox though, because you'll get that information when the first exclusive release happens.
Yep.
And so sign up to the mailing list if you want to be a part of that first release. We're going to release all the tickets.
Yep.
If the mailing list girls get it first,
they get it first.
Then they get it first. You know there will be no general release.
Releasing for the general.
Don't know what to tell you.
Seems like everyone's an early bird. Don't be embarrassing now.
For real. But on Tuesday, there will be a general release of the remaining tickets that the girls on the mailing list did not whip up.
Absolutely.
And you can get yourself a ticket for yourself. And you can also bring a sister at a discounted rate. So if you get two tickets to come with a friend, come with your sister, whatever, you can get a bit of a, you can make some savings.
A little,
you get what I mean?
Sisters, please come and enjoy with us. This is the first time that both myself and Courtney have been to South Africa.
Ever.
We're so excited. You have to show us a good time. You have to show up and show us a good time. What are we going to bring back to the UK girlies? Like, we've now been to the States. We've now been to the UK. It is only right for us to touch South Africa. And we want to be able to say it was the best one.
1,000%. So
don't
the game
fight us
is
though,
now
the UK
on.
And US girlies. Don't fight us.
The game is now on. And if you want to know how to sign up to our mailing list before the exclusive release, you can head to our website tomysisters.com, literally put in your email and you will be signed up to the mailing list, and like we said, you'll be the first to receive news about the tickets going live to be able to access that.
There we go.
And then everybody else will be on Tuesday.
There you go.
How great it is to be exclusive.
Love it for the sisters. FOMO in the building.
So yes, TMS live in South Africa. Cannot believe we're going to South
Africa
to do anything.
That, do you know how insane that
let
is?
Alone have a show.
Jeez.
God is actually so
good. Hallelujah.
So yeah, set your alarms for Monday and Tuesday. Any other housekeeping stuff?
No, I think we're all good.
I don't think so. Well, let's get into the ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Because somebody is in need of help.
Child. They always in need. I want more from my sisters.
Hey, sisters. Yay. I hope you're both well and staying warm during these tough times.
We have to. You see us wearing this jumper today, child. It's cold outside.
Of course, I wanted to thank you both for everything that you do. It's changing the lives of many, and I wish for nothing but success for you over the next year.
Thank you.
My dilemma is one many of us can probably relate to, living in a city like myself, London. I'm 22 years old and I am finishing my final year at university. Mm-hmm. Recently, I have been struggling to define how I envision my life for the future career-wise. Mm. As my university years have progressed, I have seen many of my peers strive for top jobs in big corporate firms. Mm. And I have found myself to be doing the same despite not really knowing if this is what I even want for myself. I spent a year in a corporate firm to which it had its pros and cons, but I mostly didn't really enjoy the lifestyle it provided for me. And like with most big companies, the big benefit is the salary. Mm. On one hand, having a sustainable income is incredibly important to me, especially in these times. But on the other hand, I feel quite discouraged at the fact that my main entry route into this income is through slaving away at the corporate world. Mm. If money were no issue, I would love to work on social enterprise projects which allow me to travel whilst doing things which I feel like would really make a difference to those in the world. But many of these roles are not paid very well, and also coming from an ethnic minority family, not largely respected. I would love to hear your advice on how best to navigate trying to decide for a career which is fulfilling whilst also acknowledging the importance of having a sustainable income in these hard economic times. Thank you once again, a young sis. Kiss, 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 kiss.
Kiss, 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 bye, right back to you. I really do like this dilemma. I think quite a few people can resonate in 100%. Trying to marry, you know, passion with actually making a sustainable living. Passion with pay. And it reminds me of the conversation we had way back when,
like
about
episode 3.
Oh my gosh, just giving throwback to my sisters. My gosh, Yonkers back, mate. But
for real.
But first of all, I love your outlook on life, sis. I love the fact that you're considering, what are my options as it pertains to my career? Mm. What are the things that are important to me, especially quite early on? I would definitely say don't get too bogged down in terms of the life cycle or lifespan of your career at this particular point, because I think sometimes we can plan too far in advance that we become very rigid in some of the plans that we start to implement.
So good.
I think it's good to consider your next 3, 5, 10 years, and then after that, or kind of in the midst of that, start to recuperate, start to think about, okay, where do I really want to go? I know that corporate jobs get a very, very bad rep, and, you know, quintessential, I started with a corporate job, I hated it, or quintessential, I feel like I'm slaving away, I'm not doing anything of purpose. I think it's good that you've had the experience, and I think it's good that you're starting to ascertain what makes sense for you in terms of what a fulfilling role looks like for you. And I think it's also good that at least you do have the experience of working in a corporate environment, just because they tend to be a lot higher pressured, just because they tend to be a lot more demanding, and just because in terms of social and kind of labor currency in the market right now, it's actually pretty good to say that you've worked at an organization doing X, Y, Z. It's the world that we live in, kind of sucks, but that kind of thing can be useful and can be used as leverage in other conversations. Facts. And other areas. I think that when it comes to thinking about moving into a more purpose-filled organization, really defining what does that purpose look like for you. So you mentioned social enterprise. As somebody that's worked in the social enterprise sector, it's very, very broad.
Yeah.
So what kind of impact do you want to see in the world? What kind of organization do you want to work with? Is it social impact around climate change? Is it social impact around supporting underrepresented folks? Is it impact around health outcomes? What is the type of change that you want to see in the world? And then how is it that working in a social enterprise will enable you to do that? I think is a really, really important thing to do. And it might be worth just experimenting, going and working with a whole host of different kind of social enterprise companies, if that's something that you're interested in, or even kind of not necessarily volunteering, but there's programs out there that can give you a taste of what it feels like to be in the social enterprise sector, to really know if it's something that you want to aspire to or work in. So I definitely encourage you to experiment. You're in a really good phase in your life right now and in your career where you have license to experiment. And I think for most people up until around, I mean, you can change your career whenever, but I'm assuming that you have less responsibilities. I'm assuming that you have less things on your plate right now that will prevent you from, you know, experimenting with your career. So I definitely encourage you to experiment quite a lot with the kind of organizations, the companies that you're working with, how you find doing impactful work, and then broadening that out, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be just your career, like your main job where you're enacting social impact. It could be, you know, you could, you know, work a corporate job or work something that's slightly less soul destroying as what you're currently doing, and doing social impact on the side. You know, it might look like you being an entrepreneur. It might look like you being involved on a part-time basis in something else, but just experimenting and exploring, what does that look like for you? Because sometimes the impact that you desire to have with your work doesn't necessarily come through your career, like straight off the bat. I would also say, don't worry if it takes several iterations of your experience to find what works for you. I think sometimes we feel like we enter into the job, the industry or the labor market, we have to find that role. We have to find that one from the jump. You know, I have to have, I need to be super vocational from the jump. And right now you have license to chill and just like, okay, what makes sense for me? I hear you in terms of the pay. However, what I would say is, don't allow yourself to be a slave to pay either. It's one thing to be a slave to a corporate job, but it's also another thing to be a slave to pay. And oftentimes it's through making very risky decisions that the biggest reward pays off. I think a lot of people are only in corporate jobs because of the money. And whilst money is legitimate, it won't be the thing that will keep you there forever. That's, do you know what I mean? So it's very, very important to think about, okay, the money is important, but what does that figure look like for me? You mentioned lifestyle, right? You're still like relatively young, 22. What does a good lifestyle look like for you at this particular time? It doesn't necessarily have to be the 100K, six figures or whatnot. It can be a, okay, we're starting at 25K or 30K or the national average for whatever country you're at. And then, is there opportunities for progression? Or can I leverage taking a slightly lower wage now in order to make a higher wage in the future? Lot of people in corporate industries, they start off corporate, work there for a couple of years or whatnot, and then they move across to the social enterprise sector because they've got that leverage from the corporate staff, they get higher wages in that sector. So really experimenting, really exploring, what are some of the key routes that I can be taking? What are ways that I can experiment with my career right now to be able to have a minimum lifestyle that I want right now, but also I'm allowing myself to build a better future for myself, not thinking that I need to reach my peak straight away. It's very, very rare. Listen, don't let the corporate lifestyle catch you. I'm telling you. All of that lifestyle inflation, all that kind of stuff.
It's very real.
It's okay to live a relatively simple life right now with aspirations for building in the future. You've got your whole career ahead of you. Literally, your people change their careers at 50 or... They change their careers at 50. So I definitely encourage you to weigh out your options, explore. I know that it feels like, especially coming from an ethnic minority background, I'm not going to presuppose poverty, because a lot of people say, say, BAME or ethnic minority, know, I'm a little, poor. It's just codified language to say I'm poor. And I don't necessarily think that we should, you know, have the two as linked. But if it is that you are worried about money because of particular, you know, coming from a marginalized background, I get that it can also feel like it's a constant struggle, like a very present struggle. Trust me, I know, as unfortunate as it is that in the UK, class stratification is a real thing. And everyone's like, oh, I'm working class, middle class, blah, blah, blah. As somebody that identifies ethnic minority background, working class background, I feel that. And then you also have, we call it the black tax, this whole idea of, okay, now that you're in a job, you now need to make sure that you are funding and supporting all other folks within your community, including your immediate family. I know that there are some very present issues that it seems like a high paying corporate job can fix.
Come on, speak on it.
A band-aid on a wound that will need to be stitched up by a professional.
Very temporary solution.
Very temporary solution. And the thing about temporary solutions is they often...
If you continue to give temporary solutions to the poorest of the poor, the poorest will become the poorest. No,
stop it. Do you know how that sounds?
Sorry. But that's the perfect soundtrack to the situation. That is the perfect...
What? Temporary solution. Oh no, I've really, because I've saved that sound.
Continue to give temporary solutions. It is to the poorest of the poor. The poorest, will become the poorest.
And continue to be. Oh my gosh. My gosh. Sorry, this is so tangential, but you know how I told you that I was watching Wonka recently? Have you watched it?
Yes.
You know when you say the word poor, one of the sorry guys, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but there's one like really bourgeoisie chocolatier that's part of the Wonka like community, and every time you say poor, he pretends to be sick. He said the poor. I don't relate with that demographic. You know, people that have not seen Poverty. Oh, guys, if you've seen Poverty. Anyways, I digress.
One cast sis, social commentary.
Exactly. Don't allow your present situations to dictate your future conditions.
Yeah.
Sometimes, listen, this is temporary. And sometimes it looks like taking a bit of a hitch now to the extent that you can. Mm. I know that this may not be a possibility yeah. for you. So again, this is your situation for you to decide. But if you can hold out for a little bit, it's better for you to take a couple risks and experiment now than find yourself as a slave to the system forever. This is the perfect opportunity for you to carve out, start to experiment, see what works for you right now, than, you know, have like 10, 15, 20 years in a career that you know that you don't like, but you're just doing for the money. Money can open a whole host of wonderful jobs, opportunities and jobs and whatnot. But there is nothing like being able to get remuneration for work that you care about.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does look like, you know, making sacrifices initially so that you can, you know, get them paid off later down the line. But it's better to make the sacrifice now than to sacrifice the entirety of your career.
So good. So true.
But CDB.
Yeah, man. I completely agree.
Pass on the torch.
I completely agree. I think it's important to remember that the amount that you make isn't the solution to all of your problems, right, as you were saying. However, I would say that in, like you kept mentioning, the economy that we are living in, having a job that has some kind of financial stability would not be a bad way to start your career mm-hmm, journey. Mm-hmm. I think if you found that, firstly, it's not everyone who can get into corporate.
It's not.
So I think that's also something we can sometimes take for granted, that we have these options available to us. There are literally people praying and begging for the sort of opportunities you seem to have open to you. Now, that shouldn't necessarily dictate how you move. Mm-hmm. However, it is a very huge privilege to be able to have access to this kind of job, especially when the economic conditions we are living in makes jobs like that quite scarce.
Absolutely.
And so if you can do it and you think, okay, this is something maybe for 1, 2, 3 years of my life I'm going to do because I don't yet know what my next move will be, then I would say take up this opportunity. It has so many green flags, the income, the experience as well. And I love that you mentioned that if you do want to work in the social impact field, you may also still benefit from the skills which you might acquire working in a traditional corporate background. And it's something that a lot of social impact companies, charities, organizations actually really benefit from. But also for yourself, it's very hard to do work when you are in need. It's very, very hard. You can sometimes begin to disdain your mission and hate the fact that you want to help people.
Yeah.
And I know that that seems very contradictory. However, it's a very real thing. It's easier to help the needy when you are not one.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that it's impossible. However, I think if you are in a position where, okay, let me get myself, firstly, let me acquire some skills. Let me get some money in my savings. Let me make sure that I am financially stable to some extent now, so that when I do get clarity on what I want my career to look like in the social impact space, I am not too turned off by the fact that the salaries are low. And that would be the best kind of footing and foundation to be able to make the steps into the direction you want to be in.
Yep.
So if it is that you want to work in social impact and you've decided, actually, I want to work for this particular organization, which is making incredible impact in the world, but I know that salaries are low. That's fine, because I'm not that in need for money. Mm-hmm. I have savings, I have investments, I have other things, whether it's businesses or whatever, that are set up that can pay me as a supplement to the work that I am doing.
Right.
And all that I really need to do is sacrifice my time, and my reward won't necessarily be the pay. It will be my satisfaction and my fulfillment. You will be in a far better place making that decision than to say, I really want to work in the social impact space, but I'm broke. Because then your life is going to be ruled by pay. It's going to be ruled by money. And so I think it's worth making this short-term sacrifice as an investment into yourself for the future, and to be primed and positioned to make the change you want to see. You could also, on this journey, begin to realize that it actually takes money to see the change that you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that you realize there are some social causes which are really close to my heart. However, my position in bringing about change in those areas is as one who can supply funds and resources and can actually use some of the money that I'm making from my corporate job or from this walk of life to help other people who are already doing this work. So it could look like philanthropy. It could look like sponsoring work that's already being done. It could be like sitting on boards and lending your knowledge to organizations as to how they can be more effective and impactful. And so I think if this is a door that's open to you and you don't have clarity as to what the alternative would be right now, walk through this door. Mm-hmm. And use all that it offers you to prime you for when you do have clarity as to what your ideal impactful career would look like. But in the meantime, acquire the resources, acquire the skills, the network, so and so that could help prepare you for that future. It's very normal to think, I don't want to sell out my soul to the corporate system. I think where people go wrong is they forget their mission. They forget why they went into it in the first place. Mm. And so if it is that you're telling yourself, I'm doing this so I can save, make sure you're actually saving. Mm. And like you said, make sure that lifestyle creep doesn't creep up on you and swallow all of your money to the point where you're like, ah, actually, I now am relying on the corporate system to keep me afloat. Mm. And last thing, what you were saying about prestige. From what I have experienced, when people begin to see the change that you're making, they don't really care about your job title. They don't really care about whether you are, you know, at a C-suite level of a company. They just like that you're making an impact and you're living very purposefully. And so I think sometimes you have to lay aside the desire for people to applaud you and really make your priority the desire to change the world.
Yeah.
And if that is what you're setting your mission on, close your eyes to what other people say. Oh, I don't quite understand what you do. I don't think what you do is that important. You're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer. That's not impressive. Mm. Okay, it's not impressive to them because they have different ways of measuring success, which are not your ways of measuring success. And so find out what your measure of success is. It might not be money, it might not be prestige, but it could be impact and it could be purpose. And that is a worthy measure of how you spend your life and how you spend your time. But you need to reconcile that in your heart and not be driven by people's opinion, because people are always going to have an opinion about what it is you do and what it is they think that you should do. But it is you that is living your life. And so live it in the way that would make you proud. So that's what I would say on
that.
Yeah, live it in a way that would make you proud, sis, because money isn't everything.
It really
isn't. Oh, it is something. But it's a job.
Hello,
of the poor. I'm telling you. So, girl, grind and make that money, but don't lose your soul, you know? Love that. Well, into the main episode, talking about mental health, because it seems to be actually, you know how people are always like, oh, mental health is on the rise. Do you think that mental health and not even mental health, but like mental health issues are on the rise?
I don't know. Well, I think they are increasing, but I think a lot more people are reporting that they have mental health issues. I think it's not a new thing, but it's a new phenomenon for people to feel comfortable to say, oh, actually, this thing I've been feeling, mental health, I'm in crisis. Or now that we have more language to be able to express ourselves and articulate, okay, I've identified this thing that I'm feeling or experiencing, I can now attribute it to this new language that has been given to me.
Yeah.
So I think it's a combination of both. I think we're seeing the rise of like certain things like depression, loneliness. And I think that's definitely a long lasting legacy of the pandemic. Mm. But I think we're also seeing a high rise of people actually feeling comfortable enough or at least having the lexicon to be able to describe.
Yeah.
I'm not okay.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I think it is that, thankfully, we now have the language, and also, I guess, societally, we are more so open.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say accepting, but more so open.
Yeah.
To having the conversation about the more common or less taboo things such as depression and anxiety. Yeah. I think there's still so much work to be done around clinical mental health issues. So like your schizophrenia, BPDs, bipolar, anorexia, things like that. Yeah. I think there are still a lot of taboo, fear and just ignorance surrounding those issues. But I do think around like the anxiety, social anxiety and stuff, we are being more clued up on what that means and how much more common it is than we originally thought. So have you ever experienced, what has been your experience with mental health?
Mental health. It's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been hard. I think For me, I have definitely experienced bouts of depression.
Yeah.
Just spells where I cannot shake off this persistent, sad feeling. And I think oftentimes I look back retrospectively, because obviously growing up and when I was younger, I didn't have the language to be able to express myself. Emotions, I found it difficult to articulate my emotions, but mental yeah. health, I really struggled because I didn't think it was a thing that was legitimate, especially within the confines of like my household, my community, my cultural upbringing. Mental health and not being well mentally, that was just a sign of like there's something actually wrong with you.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, you know, something that people experience yeah. for a whole host of reasons. But yeah, definitely depressive episodes.
Yeah.
Definitely around periods of my life that were very intense. Definitely around traumatic experiences yeah. that I've had. It's funny because you can often be at the height of certain things that you're going through. Like people will be applauding you and people will be saying you are achieving so, so much. And yet be simultaneously at the lowest of the low.
Say it again.
I think of the times of, for example, university. People often think, oh, you're going to this really incredible university where you are surrounded by the most incredible minds all the time. The level of anxiety that I experienced. In fact, that was even the genesis. The where birthing place. Began. That's where it all began. It happened when I was born. I opened my eyes, I saw the world. I said, Laura, send me back. God. You said you made me in the womb, could you send me back there? But no, that experience, right, of like going into a place and a space that felt fundamentally it could not contain a person like me,
yeah.
all of a sudden was one of the biggest sources of social anxiety for me. That child, it crippled me for a while, man. Incredibly, just wow. Yeah. Just, ooh, the anxiety was quite a serious
anxiety,
thing. Oh, a serious, serious thing. You know, moving, graduating, very, very big, exciting transitions in my yeah. life, often accompanied by depressive episodes because of that uncertainty, because of that fear of not being able to match up, because of that whole life expanse that is now up to me to determine. It was scary.
Yeah.
You know, moving into jobs, moving into relationships, heartbreak. People don't talk about the depressive episodes that you can get into
heartbreak.
After heartbreak. Oh my gosh. There was one heartbreak, guys. There was one heartbreak. I was like, God, are you trying to send me under? Like, actually send me under. Especially when you're in a relationship with someone that you can envisage seeing the rest of your life with. And for that to break, oh my gosh. I was, forget listening to all of the heartbreak music. It was, I couldn't get up out of bed sometimes. It was either I'm eating loads or I'm not eating enough. It was just not taking any kind of pride in my appearance. If you saw me, you saw me, and that's that. I can't say I saw you. You might have seen me. I can't say I saw you. And if you did see me, you better unsee me. You know, some people, listen, you know how you have clothes or just items?
Yeah. Stuff
like that? This is my don't see me.
Do not
outfit.
Catch me outside.
Don't speak
in this
to me.
Clothes.
Don't greet me. No, no. I was wearing that day in, day out, and people were seeing me. I said, don't unsee me.
Unsee me.
So going through that and the loneliness that some of these transitions can bring, I think was really, really challenging for me. I think before we moved in together, moving into environments where I was meeting people for the first time and had to rebuild these connections and these relationships, again, lots of anxiety, lots of depression, lots of, is this even worth it? Right? And it's funny because even now, a lot of the people that I speak to or meet often speak of similar experiences where there's that constant sense of isolation, especially throughout the day. There's that constant sense of depression, darkness, this sadness that doesn't leave. So yeah, that's a little bit about like my mental health journey. It's not all been bad, but there has definitely been some times where it has been an almost seasonal experience of sadness that I just can't shake.
Oh, it's deep.
Oh, it's tough. And I think as much as we can do the affirmations, as much as we can do the motivational speaking into our lives, as much as we can, you know, pray or, you know, tap into community, I think there is a real contention with that season of sadness. Like, how do you lift? How do you still bring joy? Especially right now, right? We're at the beginning of the year. A lot of people that I've spoken to or heard from have actually like given up. Or there's a lot of people that, you know, they look outside, there's nothing motivating them to go outside, or they're trying to conjure up some kind of spirit of joy. And I think the older I get, the more that I realize, as much as people say like, oh, happiness is a choice, yes, joy is a choice.
Yeah.
It's not just a choice. It's something that actually has to be cultivated.
Yes, intentional.
You have to be intentional about joy and happiness and peace in your yeah. life. And I heard something so beautiful recently, and it's, most people don't get what they deserve. People get what they fight for. Mm. And happiness and joy is something that I'm learning I have to fight for.
So good.
And I ain't gonna lie to you, girl. Sometimes I don't want to fight.
Sometimes facts, I'd rather lose. Tag.
Sometimes.
I'd rather lose. Yeah.
Sometimes. Loser.
So unserious.
Sometimes. L. Loser. Mm. Sometimes. Mm. And yeah, like, I think it's contending with that, right? Like, a lot of people tune into TMS and tune into like the work that we do and assume that, you know, things are hunky-dory. As yeah. much as we've been transparent over yeah. the course of the last few years about our journey, the things that we've been through, and seem to think that we have arrived.
Mm.
Baby, we are arriving with you.
Mm.
We are journeying,
journeying
with you.
With
this
you.
Is the even as you're listening to this right now, this is the least that we will be. Yeah, and we're amen. Still going through
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
We are still going through it.
Yeah. So true. Yeah.
But talk to me, Courtney. What about you and your mental health proclivities? jump scare.
Oh my God.
Jump scare.
Well, you know what? It's been a journey. So I think growing up, I had a lot of like sadness, depression, anxiety, in regards to just having a very, very tough childhood. Mm-hmm. Like very tough childhood. And seeing things I definitely shouldn't have seen, being exposed to some very hard realities of life from yeah. like domestic violence, abuse, alcoholism, like a whole bunch of stuff. And it's just like, oh, life is really sad.
It's,
and my happiness only really used to come when I was in school, because it was just time away from everything, like the reality of life. But, you know, life is always there. Life is always happening. And I think, like you said, there was always that like, oh, but we have to keep going. And I think it wasn't until I got to about like 16, 17, 18 where that really caught up with me. It's like, I can't keep going anymore.
Yeah.
And so yeah, when I was 17, like a few months before my 18th birthday, tried to commit suicide. And that was like the apex of everyone now had to acknowledge, something's wrong. And similarly, yeah. I grew up in a household where, even though I was surrounded by a lot of medical professionals, mental health was just a taboo. You know, it was, okay, you're sad now, but we kind of have to keep things going.
Yeah.
Kind of, you need to get over it, honey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was an environment where feelings weren't necessarily addressed. And I'd highly recommend, if you want to know more about like, just more insight into that, go and listen to my episode with my younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of talked a lot about mental health.
Those episodes
with our sisters were really insightful, man. Yeah. Like some of our best episodes and some of the best conversations that we've been able to have. But it was just a very tough environment. But after that kind of big crisis, it was, I think most of the people in my family kind of took knowledge of the fact that, oh, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Things aren't right. And I'm actually more sensitive than I've even been giving myself credit for or been attributing to myself. And I think it was then me going on this very intentional journey of, okay, my mental health is actually a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford to get to this place again, especially now I'm going off to university. I'm going to be by myself. And it really was the beginning of like my glowing and growing journey, I would say, where it's like no longer just on survival mode, but actually addressing my feelings, trying to heal, talking to people now about things and not just holding things in. But that wasn't the, you know, the magic bullet to getting rid of depression or anxiety or panic. I think it was when I was in uni as well, just being in a different environment, feeling like you didn't really belong, also feeling this immense amount of pressure to succeed, that I started experiencing panic attacks. And that was the first time I remember like just hyperventilating. I'm like, oh my God, when's this going to stop? Why is this
going on? Short of breath,
oh my gosh,
everything.
I'm still not breathing.
Yeah.
And then I was having things like heart palpitations. I was having night terrors whilst at university. It was really bad. Like, And then I just got to this point where I was like, God, you're going to have to intervene. You're really going to have to intervene. And I was just like praying a lot, but again, like really leaning on community. And I think being a lot more transparent helped my mental health journey, because as much as people around you, as much as it may seem like the environment around you is always taboo to talk about these things, sometimes other people are just waiting for somebody to be bold enough to address the elephant in the room.
Absolutely.
And it's not until you then start saying something that someone else will be like, oh, it's like what you were saying about language. Once you give language to something, other people become a lot more expressive and they start to say the things that they've been going through, and maybe they haven't had the words or haven't felt the safety to be able to be honest. But I think our honesty gives people the power to also be honest. And that's what I experienced. The more I was open about my mental health struggles, then my sister started to be honest about hers. And likewise, like friends and stuff will now have these conversations because you create that space. But it's like what you're saying around being super successful. I think people think good times cure depression, good times cure anxiety, and it's like, no, sometimes these things actually make it worse. And I would say like the last, I'd say about 12 months have probably been when I've seen another flare up of anxiety, anxious thoughts, and a lot of worry. And I think that's another side.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So our mental health, that like, it stands in between a mental health issue and just my emotions, which is our worrying, you know? And I think when we don't allow, when we don't take care of our emotions with care, they easily become and evolve into things like depression, anxiety, and stuff. So I'd say that one emotion that I began to see was fear, just a lot of fear about the future. And I am prone to overthinking, I think, like many of us. As much as I'm a planner, when wielded in the other direction, it becomes me almost planning my own downfall in my own head, and my imagination and my visions become, how can this fail? How can I fail? How would I be unhappy? And I started to just see this pattern of thinking, which was, things aren't going to work out well for me. Even in the face of incredible opportunities and a really bright future and an amazing life, right? You can still find in your heart, there's worry. And I think there's that scripture that talks about like, you're always going to have worries. You're always going to have, but the key isn't to meditate on those feelings and not be so fixated on your anxieties, but to truly not be afraid. And I think that that's one of the hardest things I've had to do in the last year, which is like, I know people always say feel the fear and do it anyway, but it's genuinely not allowing fear to consume me. I think that's the thing. It's like you feel, okay, this initial feeling of fear has come, but you can't live there. You can't let that have you. You can't keep defining yourself as being fearful or scared or anxious. So yeah, last year I saw like another wave of kind of like panicking, and then just a wave of sadness in general, like not knowing why I was sad and just having a deep sadness. And I think this is going to sound super deep, but I think with the line of work that we do as well, you're just thinking all the time and you're kind all of thinking about all we do, and it will make you sad. Like we think about life, we think about what's going on.
Yeah.
And you kind of become a little bit hopeless.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, so what is the point of life? Oh, what is the point of this glowing and growing thing?
Glowing and growing when everything is stagnating.
Everything is stagnating. Dark. Things in the world are becoming even worse. Yeah. And so your mind is now pondering on all of these things and you become, like I said, hopeless. And suddenly there's a sadness you can't shake off. And I think we try to medicate it with, you know, oh, we're making more money, or let me buy myself something nice, or let me watch Netflix.
Things
that just leave you empty afterwards. Like, you just have to keep doing it in order to stay in that high place. But at some point you have to stop. At some point you have to go to sleep. At some point you have to log off of social media and contend with your own thoughts.
Yeah.
And I think that's when we can really see where we're at in our hearts and in our minds, and how healthy we are when it comes to our emotions and our mind. And I have just found for myself that sometimes I'm not in the healthiest place, man.
Yeah.
And I can spend so long ignoring that, that it accumulates over time, and then it's a sudden outburst.
It's a sudden
Suddenly
outburst.
You're having a crying fit. Listen. Or you're shouting at somebody or something like that. And I've seen, it catches you. And I've seen those parts of myself where it's like, who is this person? Mm. I don't like this person. It's like, these are... This is something that has been created out of all the small things you didn't want to deal with. And now it has enough power to completely take over you, whether it be through the form of sadness or anger or complete dysfunction. And I think a lot of us grew up seeing, because we didn't have the language, my final point, because we didn't have the language, I think what we saw was just dysfunction as a manifestation of undealt with emotions, with feelings, undealt with conversations, all of these things that go unconfronted over time. We then saw that manifest as brokenness, and unfortunately broken pieces cut people, you know. And I think that's why a lot of us felt like we were bleeding, but then we've also gone on to bleed on other people as well. So
a whole mess.
What
a actual kerfuffle.
Tea for tat.
I love what you were saying about recognizing the small things, because I was gonna say, I don't know about you, but I do know about you.
So you do.
But we've grown up in environments where we've been taught to hold things in because there's other priorities in place, right? We have to be strong. We have to, you know, think about these things later. And it's when you are not prepared. It's when you haven't processed. It's when you are by yourself that all of these emotions come flooding, all of these experiences come flooding. And it can be so overwhelming when you're met with undealt emotions, when you're met with trauma that you haven't been able to surface, when you're met with, you know, the person that you've become that you didn't want to meet ever. And I think it's so important that even as we're thinking about like mental health, that we don't think of it as something that needs to get to its most extreme manifestation before it being something worthy of being like dealt with. So I think, you know, mental health and well-being, happy mental and healthy mental health and well-being, is all about making the daily choices or the regular choices to deal with some aspect of
it.
So, you know, of course, lots of us talk about having practices like journaling or meditation and all these kind of things. But these things are actually important because we need something that allows us to extract that energy. Otherwise, you will just have, it's kind of like when you have pressure inside a bottle or when you constantly fill a bottle. Eventually, the top of that bottle is going to pop. And when it does, that's going to hurt somebody. It may not hurt you, but it's going to hurt somebody. And then that transfers as energy to somebody else to now be added to their own bottle. So for the sake of making sure that you're okay, but also the people around you are okay, we actually need to commit to dealing with this every day. And that's hard because it's not every day. I don't know about you, Courtney. It's not every day. It's not every day that I want to deal with Renee.
Literally.
It's not every day that I want to do my journaling or meditation. It's not every day that I feel like it. Like, there are some days where I'm just like, I've been so busy that all I want to do is sleep, or I just want to, you know, medicate. I want to watch my Netflixes. I want to watch my latest series thinking that this is going to make me feel better. Then I'll get to the weekend and whoa, I'm sad.
I'm really, really, really sad. And I the way I relate to that is crazy. I think when you acknowledge that every day we are absorbing some kind of pressure, some kind of anxiety. We are we're taking in some kind of energy, right? Like our interactions with people, are the things we have to give, the things we have to take, the things we have to hear. And like you said, life is loud, life is busy. And I think now that we're living in an age where every time you look at your phone, there's something to do, there's something to engage with, there's something new to think about. Mm. Our thoughts can now just be racing every hour of every day. That it is exhausting. Mm. But then also life is exhausting and the responsibility of life is exhausting. So that when, like you said, it's time to now deal with you, you're like, no, it's fine.
Wrap that up.
And I think it's because we need to shift our mind from thinking that we are now another responsibility that is exhausting and now another burden to ourselves, when actually no, us taking care of ourselves is a priority. Us taking care of ourselves and kind of taking time to rest is the frame that surrounds the picture of our life. Without it, everything else falls apart. And we can make these things added extras. Oh, you know, I'll carve out time in my calendar to do the pampering, but it's not about the pampering, it's actually about the essentials that keep you up. Face masks and stuff is really nice. Maintenance is really nice. Or even sometimes journaling and getting to, you know, spend that extra couple minutes a day meditating and breathing. Those are things that are really nice. But I do think that there are bare minimum things we need to do to just take care of our souls and take care of our heart, which we cannot afford to let fall by the wayside. And I think a lot of us just put it to the side because it's another responsibility when actually, no, it's a duty to yourself. And so even if it's just for 5 minutes, just being like, ooh, how am I actually doing? And that self-awareness, how do I feel? Because I've been taking in so much, there needs to be a release, or at the very least, an acknowledgement of what it is I have gone through today. And I think as women, I think as Black women, as elders, daughters, as whatever you fall into, as people who are just trying to make life work, we're constantly absorbing the pressure. We're constantly thinking, I need to be strong, I need to be good, I need to do, forgetting that, who are you? Like, you know, who are you at the core? That whole, like, that idea of being, are you actually okay? Do you have the capacity, the energy to be able to even carry the things which you so desire? And I think a lot of us don't even ask ourselves that question. It's like, no, I want, but can you even carry what you want? You're not even you're a broken vessel, you know? And if you don't address that brokenness or that crack or the fact that that thing you had to carry today was actually quite heavy or is a bit of a blow to you, if you don't take moments to catch those things, you're then very shocked when you shatter. And it's like, oh no, but you've had a lot of nicks and a lot of cracks and you just haven't acknowledged it. So I think it's reframing yourself to see that as not an extra. It's not an extra. It's not an added to do. It's a necessity.
It's a necessity. And I think it's even more important in accessing help that you're able to do that work. I think there's so many of us that wish that we could be seen, wish that we could be heard, wish that someone could just pinpoint everything that was wrong with us. But many of us fail to realize that that work has to start with us. We actually need to be able to identify our emotions, identify what, you know, issues there are that we're facing, identify like what it is and what the experience is that we're having so that other people can then lend help. It's very difficult to support somebody when you're not sure what they're going through. And I know a lot of us will balk and be like, I don't really feel comfortable enough to share what I'm going through. Dare I say it, a lot of us are trying to stand in as therapists to other people, but we can't stand in as, you know, confidant to ourselves. And I think it's so, so important for us to get into that space of recognizing, showing ourselves that same tender, loving care as it pertains to our mental health and well-being, and emotional well-being even, because as you were saying, I definitely think that emotions can often be a great indicator or a great gateway to a wider conversation as to what is the state of affairs with my mind? Like, what is going on here? And then also thinking about, what are the things that I'm consuming? How are these contributing? What is in my space right now that is contributing
to the way I feel?
To the way that I feel? Like, literally, one thing that I found about myself, I'm a very impressionable person. When I see something, I hear something, I listen to it, I start thinking, my mind races in overdrive. What are the things that you're watching? What are the things that you're reading? constantly being badgered by the news, and this is not to say don't stay up to date, but constantly being badgered by the news is a perfect example. It's not healthy. The amount of information, even that in of itself, right? The amount of information that we are exposed to in this generation is too much. Our brains have literally not caught up with the capacity to process the information that we are being fed. Content, scroll. Yeah. Yes, yes, love it. Yes.
And it's the attention switching from this to that, to this to that. I think our brains are exhausted.
You need to stop. You need to stop and sit in a corner. You would be surprised. And it's funny how it's often in those moments where you catch yourself and you're quiet that all those emotions burst forth. I've definitely had moments where I've just been by myself or in the middle of a moment and felt so overwhelmed that I just immediately burst into tears.
Yeah.
Or just immediately, I feel like I could be in a scream room. Like looking at everybody like this all this pent up frustration, all this pent up rage. I'm like, where is this coming from? Something that I haven't dealt with, I should have dealt with 2 weeks ago. Something that getting into the daily practice of dealing with me.
Yeah.
You can't deal effectively with the world if you haven't dealt with yourself.
Yeah.
In fact, you start dealing with the world and you haven't dealt with yourself, the world will deal with you.
Yeah.
Beat you up, bro.
Facts.
Beat you up. There's so many people that have been beaten by the world. So many people, so many broken people. You ask them their likes, their dislikes. You ask them how they're feeling, you know, what they're thinking. They literally sound like parrots of somebody's timeline online.
Yeah.
You know? The world has done a number on us.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to shut out that world and deal with this world
inside
first.
Of you. So
crazy
good.
Stuff.
So good. And it's that thing you said about like so many of us desire to be seen. And I think in order to be seen, you must show yourself. Mm. And a lot of us struggle with the idea of vulnerability, transparency, and being open enough for a person to see the wounds or even just hear the feelings, right? A lot of us don't want to be perceived as weak.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't want to be perceived as incapable.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that it's something that we were discussing even before we came on the mics. That thing about accountability and that thing about having community around you and yet having to still expose yourself. I think a lot of us have community and we have accountability, but it might not be working because we haven't given them access to the parts of ourselves which we're still hiding.
Yes.
And I think that these are, because it is issues of the mind, issues of the heart, these things you cannot see. Mm. It's easy for us to put on facades. It's easy for us to act like we're okay.
Mm.
And because we haven't been transparent and honest, the people who we've given the responsibility to be our community, to be our loved ones, they can't even help us.
Yeah.
So I think there is something to be said around, you may desire to be seen, but have you actually shown yourself?
Mm.
Have you actually revealed those parts of yourself for people to access to help you do that healing work? And even I think last year when I was going through like thick bouts of sadness, like one of the things that I really appreciated was how there for me you were and how I could come to you and just fall apart. I think I was telling this story at the live show about the morning I just woke up and was like, have no will to do anything. I've lost the will to live. And I just came to your door and was like, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I was just crying my eyes out. And you just held me and, you know, it was, you prayed over me and stuff. And I think, what would you say to somebody who is dealing with a sister, a friend, someone in their community who is struggling with mental health? So it may not necessarily be them, like they're okay, but now they're in a position where they have to support someone who is going through something.
Well, the first thing that I'll say is the way that you view your friendship is very important in dealing and providing support, because I think, linked to what I was saying earlier about the fact that a lot of people think that they're doing too much in other people's lives and showing up as therapists and not getting the reciprocation that they required, I think it's understanding that the bond that you have with your friend or like your sister is really a promise.
Yeah.
It's an agreement. And understanding that 50-50 doesn't always look like 50-50 all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to look like 90-10.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to look like 70-30 or whatever ratio makes sense for a particular season in that person's life.
So good.
And it's being okay with the fact that there will be some seasons in that friendship where you will need to step up and show up for both of you. Understanding that there's now also money in the bank, because guess what? some people are going to be in overdraft.
Yeah.
Your overdraft may be coming. It may be right around the corner. And it's better to ensure that you have showed up in the way that you would want somebody else to show up for you. And that just being a principle in your friendship and the way that you show up is so, so key. I think what's also important is patience and presence. Being patient with people. Life is tough. Even the best amongst us are going through something. In fact, those that are the best amongst us, they have overcome battles and challenges that we have not seen. Listen, when people are like, oh my gosh, you guys are so amazing. Do you know the devils that we faced?
What we fought.
Do you know what we have fought and the things that are still to fight? We're fighters, unfortunately. As much as we have tried to, you know, shirk off that responsibility of being frontline soldiers, it seems that in the scope of this lifespan, we are continually thrust into the limelight. So it really is important that you have patience and empathy, deep, deep empathy, where you genuinely care for and love for that person as if they were your own.
Yes.
Like a friendship, like when we say sisterhood, a friend that is also a sister, that is declaring that this person is now blood. That's declaring that this person is now family. And one thing about family is we protect our family. We're patient with our family. That is an elevation, a step above somebody that is a stranger or somebody that is not linked to you. This is now we've agreed to be linked to each other. Making sure that you are patient and making sure that you are present. It doesn't necessarily have to be overbearing or anything like that, but just making it known that you have good intentions towards your friend. I think for you, but also for me, vice versa, I've never hesitated in coming towards you because I know you have good intentions for me and my life. It's important that in the hour or the time of support when it is needed, that this has been the precursor, has been you showing up as a good friend and making good intentions towards that person known. Because there is nothing like being in a tight situation and not feeling like there's anyone to go to around you, despite having people close to you. How many times do we hear, like, it grieves me when I've heard in the past my friends have been going through stuff, but didn't feel like they could approach me. It has grieved me to the point where, like, I consciously now try to make sure that my good intentions and my love for that person is present in all of our interactions, because that, we spoke about, you know, the negative buildup of like emotions and all that. This is a positive buildup of, you know, when you do need to withdraw and access this energy. We've actually spent some time building that. So that's really, really important. I think it's also about like giving the benefit of the doubt as well.
1,000%.
Give the benefit of the doubt. Like, again, this life is very, very, it can be really challenging sometimes. And I think it can be very easy to use somebody's weak moment against them in the future. We use it, we hold on to it. Yeah, but I showed up for you in this moment. Or when you were down, I was the one that supported you. When you were going through this. And I think as women, sometimes we can be predisposed to do this, especially because many of us have faced betrayal. Many of us have faced negative relationships. Many of us have felt as though we have not truly been compensated for what we think we have given to another person. And when you hold it against a person, you're given license for resentment to enter into that relationship. And that will eventually, again, end up in a broken relationship. So I think it's really important that if you are going to show up for somebody, you better be willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, because they need it. They need it. There has never, literally, there's never been a time where like, oh my gosh, you know, Courtney's acting shady because she hates me. Or, you know, suspicious. Even when times are tricky, or even when times where both of us are going through stuff, I still feel comfortable enough to go to you and be like, Courtney, I need to lean on your shoulder at least today. You lean on mine tomorrow. Today I need you to lean on mine. Do you know what I mean? And I think another thing that I would say for a friend taking a more supportive role is making sure that when you are filling your cup, you fill your cup for yourself and your sister. You contend for yourself and your sister.
So good.
A conversation that we, you know, had prior to this was like on the importance of covenant, right? These bonds, these promises. You need to make sure that what you are gathering together, especially in the context of friendship, when you're working on yourself, when you're doing all of this intentional building of yourself, make sure that you are doing it so much so that you have overflow to share with other people. I'm not just, you know, oh, I want to be a kind person because of, for the the sake of being a kind person. I want to be a kind person because it means the people around me get to experience kindness and experience joy in their life.
Yeah.
I don't want to just be, you know, the it girl for the sake of being the it girl. I want to be the it girl so that I have people around me that can enjoy and partake in that experience.
Exactly.
So make sure, as much of it can be quite tough and taxing and it sometimes feels burdensome, in true reciprocal relationships, if you are going to show up in a supporting role as a sister, you need to do the work, not just for you, but for the people that love you. You have to.
I love that.
You have to.
And it's a part of the sacrifice of sisterhood.
Exactly.
But also the beautiful honor of it. Like, I think what I love about what you said is when you are a sister, you take up the responsibility that comes with, there will inevitably be a time where this person is down.
Yep.
And I am the one who is in their life to be a pillar for them, to be a covering for them, to be a support for them when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you always have to be on guard, like, oh no, I need to be strong for everybody else around me. No, because there will be times when you are weak, when you need to go and lean on people. However, there is such beauty in knowing I am equipping myself, not just for the nourishment of me, but the nourishment of those who naturally receive what flows from me. Whether it's, you know, I'm learning this because I know it will help you, or I'm doing this practice because I know when I am full, when I can overflow into you. And that is a really lovely way to think about the way you take care of yourself as well. Like when you're filling up your cup, like you said, make sure that you're filling it for you and other people around you, because you are a well, you are something that other people come and drink from. But I do think for the times when you do find yourself empty, the beauty of sisterhood is this is somebody who you can actually confess to that you are empty.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people struggle with that acknowledgement for themselves, firstly, that I am sensitive enough to be in a deficit. I am sensitive enough to not be able to conjure up for myself the strength that is needed for this season of my life. And I think when you acknowledge you are weak, when you acknowledge that you have fallen or you are in need, you can begin to participate in the beauty of sisterhood because now you can go and drink from your sister's overflowing cup. Do you get what I mean?
Absolutely.
And if you don't have the humility, but also the compassion for yourself to acknowledge, I don't have anything now. Like, I don't have the strength. I'm giving everything to my job, or I'm giving everything to my family and I have nothing left for me. Mm-hmm. If you do not have the compassion for yourself to even acknowledge I'm empty, you'll never go and get what it is that you need. And I think a lot of us are in relationships with people and we haven't experienced the true intimacy of sisterhood because we are yet to admit that we are empty and we need someone to fill us up. So I do want to say for anyone like listening or watching who is like, I don't feel that close to my friends, it could be because you don't know you're empty.
Yeah.
And you don't know that they can feel you, or you don't know the areas in which you are empty because you don't want to seem needy. Mm-hmm, you don't want to seem like you are dependent. Yeah. But actually, sisterhood is a beautiful display of codependency. And genuine dependence on each other, which is when you're down, I'll feel you or I'll pull you up. When I'm down, you'll pull me up. And when we allow ourselves to say, I need to be pulled up, that's when we see who's there for us and who's not.
Right.
That's when we see who's really a sister and who's
that's
not.
So true.
And it gives people the ability to show us their good side. Because I think a lot of us are scared that we'll see people's bad side in that moment. Like, oh my God, I don't want to be needy because I don't know if anyone around me can help me.
Yeah.
But then you also don't know who around you can help you because you haven't given them an opportunity to do so. And I think when you're just honest, then that's when you can really take an audit of who's in your life and who's not. But I think more of us are scared that we will be disappointed than we are expectant that we will be filled up. And I think we need to have an expectation of the people around us that they have been given to us for a reason.
Yes.
And they can love us. They have the capacity to love us, which is why you need to be wise and diligent in who you choose to be around you. But also there will inevitably be those moments of weakness where God reveals to you why you need them. And you need to be humble enough to be like, I need you in order to open that door for that to be displayed.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you then say for anyone who is struggling to embrace that sensitivity of themselves, especially as strong women who are trying to make, you know, their lives work and do all the glowing and growing stuff and have to show up and be that strong soldier and keep everything together?
Yeah.
how do you embrace that you are both strong and sensitive?
That's a beautiful question. Yeah, man. Look at you, man, with your little question prompts.
Get out of
here.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that question. I think it is found in understanding that this is not something that requires a hammer to smash down, but a chisel. You need to work at embracing sensitivity, especially if you have built up a wall or built up any kind of fortress or fortitude that has been used to deflect people from coming in. It takes time to build that. So I think it's embracing that it also takes time to knock that down. And if you want to knock it down in a way that doesn't completely, you know,
destroy
your life, you need to use the chisel and not the hammer. And I think even in doing that, embracing it in a slower way, giving people smaller opportunities to show up for you, it allows you to build up the receipts and build up the confidence to be able to share, to be vulnerable, to be weak. I think it also starts with you internally and with you addressing your weaknesses. It might look like you saying out loud, I'm weak here. I think, again, we are so strong at affirmations, but we're not necessarily so strong at confession. It might look like you standing in front of the mirror and saying, do you know what? Today, me as Renee, I'm weak here. And that's okay. It may look like when you are journaling, talking about the things that went well today, but equally, these are the things that went badly today. And this is how it made me feel. So it looks like the small chiseling away, the acknowledgement, the acceptance of the fact that there are flaws that I have. There are empty places in me. There are uncomfortable spaces that I cannot stand in for and I cannot just continue to add rocks into, but actually need to chisel away. And then giving people those small opportunities, those small windows. I don't know if you've seen, I think I've sent you this meme of like the fox that's like out here. He's like, give me a penny for change. Anybody get something? You got a dollar this
week? Yeah.
It doesn't look like, I think people are afraid of vulnerability and admitting weakness because they think it's the letting go or giving up of themselves entirely. Well, then start small. It would be a bit weird if you came to me and said, here's my whole life story. Deal with that.
Fix that.
Like fill that.
Give
me a small hole. I can fix that.
Ask
me for a dollar. I can give you that.
And
eventually you start building that trust. You start building that reciprocation. You start building that two-way transfer, that there's actually energy in that transfer. I've given you the dollar. You've given me back one. I've given you the $10. You've given me back one. I've given you the $50. And over time, I start to see, actually, because you've been faithful in accepting me and my transparency at the little, I can give you a lot.
Much more.
Friendship and transparency and sensitivities are progressive.
So
it's okay to go at a slow pace of letting people in. You don't have to let them in. You wouldn't let a stranger into your full house. Listen, there's levels to this. Think about an apartment or whatever. There are some people, when you first meet them, you have to stay on the porch. Don't come any closer. I don't know you from anywhere. Until they become the kind of person that you can let into your bedroom. I think it's that taking a progressive attitude to recognizing the sensitivities in you and then providing the opportunities for people to show up for you too, giving them the opportunity, small opportunities, because not only does that transform them and let them know that, oh, actually, there's things here that I can do to help her, or like there's inroads to this blockage that I can actually access in order to support her. And it also enables you to see, actually, this person hasn't disappointed me. In fact, this person has probably exceeded my expectations. This person has held me up when I thought that I was gonna fall. Have you ever met times that you're going to crumble? Like times that are so hard that you might even get lightheaded. You're like, I need to sit down small. And somebody has actually propped you up.
Such a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. But if you are the strong person, start slow because that fortress has been built up. And don't fool yourself into thinking that healing has to be something that's instant. There is instantaneous healing. But the most deep-seated transformations that I have seen is the healing that happens on a daily basis. You have to commit to being sensitive in one area every day. Every day.
So good. So good. And I would go further to say as well, like, stop putting the demand for perfection on yourself. You don't have to be perfect for anybody. I think a lot of us have gotten caught up in perfectionism and this idea that, no, I have to be okay. Yeah. I have to be okay in order for this person's life not to fall apart, in order for this thing to be done.
And absolutely.
No, you get to be an imperfect human being. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. get to be fractured. You get to be in need. I think it's like when you even think about your skeleton, as strong as it is, as much as it has been carrying you, hit it the wrong way, a bone will break.
Yes. That's
so as much as you are strong, and yes, you have been carrying well, it doesn't make you infallible.
Yeah,
it doesn't make you invincible. Get hit the wrong way, you will break. And realizing that if you do break, you cannot escape the natural laws of life, which is that you must heal or you will always be broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are like, I don't want to do the work. I don't want to take the time to heal. I don't want to be benched. I don't want to be, I don't want to have to wear the cast. It's inconvenient. It's painful. It's itchy. It's a public declaration of the fact that something is broken. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, but then you'll never heal. If you do not embrace the fact that you're going to need some recovery time, if you do not take the fact that you might need to go to hospital, you might need to take some medication, you might need to see a professional.
Yep.
If you don't accept the fact that you might need some bed rest and you might need to say, take some time off work, stop seeing people. If you don't embrace the fact that you need to take a break, you need to stop now, you will never heal. And I think those natural things we see with the natural body or with the physical body, sorry, also apply to our mind and our mental health, which is if there is a fracture, there is going to need to be some recovery time.
Yep.
There is going to need to be a process of healing. And if you don't, if you deny yourself that process of healing, it will never heal. It may look like it's healed, but you'll always have a limp.
Yeah.
It may look like it's healed, but there'll be some kind of infection. It may look like it's healed, but there'll always be a pain.
Awkward.
And that is really uncomfortable, really uncomfortable over time. Like, I remember when I injured my back like 2 years ago, and because I didn't allow it to properly heal, because I still had to go, there is still some pain I feel now when I try to do certain things. It's just the lingering pain. And so it's just like, take the time to heal and stop forcing yourself through this process because you feel like, no, I want to experience a miracle. I want to experience healing instantaneously. Actually, sometimes the miracle is that though I was down, I got back up. And though it took a very long time, I'm still here.
And I'm standing, baby.
That's enough.
Chat.
That's a lot. Yeah. So I guess to close out this episode, I wanted us to pray for the sisters.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
I thought, why not? Because first of all, this is a very heavy episode. It feels like a very heavy atmosphere here. But I do think that anyone listening to this, whether you are going through your own mental health struggles or you are supporting someone, it is quite a challenging thing. And as much as, you know, we love to watch content, you're probably, you know, watching this podcast and it's been great company, entertainment. You know, once the audio track stops, you're going back to your real life.
Right.
And so we can't fight the battles you're fighting for you. Mm-hmm. So all we can do is leave a prayer with you. So I just thought that would be a cute thing.
That's real cute.
For the
man.
Girls, for the sisters.
We love that.
So Prophetess Renee.
Child, I was going to say, you want to start?
No, you can start. Okay. I'm the host.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Hostess with the mostest. I'll see that. Well, ladies, it is always an honor to pray for you folks, but we just pray that as you are stepping into this week with full conviction and full authority, that your mind is kept, that your mind is at peace, and that you step into this next week with joy.
Amen.
Lord, we just pray that every individual that is listening to this right now, the broken parts of themselves, the unhealed trauma, the areas that are still tender, we just pray that they would experience the fullness of healing, Amen. That they would experience the fullness of restoration, that they would know joy, peace, and happiness, not just into this week, but actually into this year. We also pray that those that have already prematurely given up on this year, that this, we just speak life into the areas that they had already given up to die. Amen. We just pray that every single word that was spoken against, you know, the seeds that they had for themselves this year, Lord, we counteract those words with words of life. Amen. We pray that the seeds that were planted at the beginning of this year would come to full term and even blossom in this time. And we pray that you would even just provide them with a sturdiness, a rock to stand on, that they would have the motivation and the willpower to be able to overcome every single Amen. Adversary that comes to them this week. Mm-hmm. And we also pray that even in the area of standing on behalf and supporting other people around mm-hmm. them that are going through mental health issues or who are going through testing times. Yeah. We pray that they could be a solution to other people. Amen. We pray that you would even fill up their cup so that they may be able to, from the place of overflow, flow into the lives of others and be a well to other people that they may be able to be drawn from, but also reciprocated to. Amen. And we also just bless the work of their hands. We pray that even as they are working, whether it be something related to their career or working on personal items or working on their relationships, we just pray that you would even show up in their midst and remind them that the work that they do is purposeful, that the work that they're doing is having impact, Amen. And the work that they're doing is leading them closer and closer to the calling that you have placed upon their lives. Mm-hmm. And we just pray that this would be a blessed week for them, a Amen. Week of favor, a week of stepping into the fullness, the executive calling that is placed upon their lives, yeah. and that they would feel a lessening of the burden upon their shoulders. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. And Lord, we just ask that any person who's going through anything right now, Lord, that you would surround them with the people who can love them, Amen. And that they'll experience the love of those people, that they Amen. Will be reminded that they are lovable, that even in the brokenness, even in the pain, even in whatever trauma they've been through, whatever dark times they've been through, they are still Amen. Lovable.
Amen.
They are still redeemable. They are still worthy and deserving of love, because love isn't something that you have to earn.
Amen.
I just pray, Lord, that you help them to even be compassionate towards themselves and compassionate to those around them, Lord. Amen. We're all going through something. It's a really dark world out there, and help us to experience the warmth and the tenderness of the love you surrounded us with, Amen. In the form of people, in the form of friends and family.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, sisters, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode. We Hallelujah. Hope that it's been helpful and a blessing to you.
Something along those lines.
But honestly, go into the week and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. the only charge we have for you. If you are in South Africa, though, you also have additional homework.
Yeah. Which is take care of yourself by making yourself available.
Make yourself available. February 8th, we're going to be in Joburg, okay? And so whip up those tickets, literally snap them up. We really do love you. We hope that you have an amazing week. As always, you can follow us everywhere on social media at To My Sisterhood. You can follow my amazing best friend Renee Kapuku. And you can follow me at CD Boateng to follow our Glowing and Growing journeys. But if you would like for us to send you weekly Glowing and Growing tips,
that's right,
as well as the first access to the South Africa live show tickets, then you need to sign up to our mailing list.
Okay. Come on now.
You can sign up over on our website, tomysisters.com. Very simple and easy to remember.
Straightforward.
And we will send you those love letters straight to your inbox. All right.
Oh, love it.
So have an amazing week, and as always, keep glowing, glowing and grow.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.